Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. If you haven't already, amen, enjoyed the presence of God before you leave today, just turn your heart His direction, and He will meet you right where you are. Amen. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is an ever-present help in time of need? Is our world in need of Him? Are you in need of Him? He's a God of promise, and He wants you to know all of His promises are yea and amen. They belong to you. We've got something coming up here in the next weeks ahead, beginning in August the 2nd. I know that sounds like that may be distant, but it's closer than you can imagine. And so I'd like to remind everybody, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting twice a year. And that's coming up in August the 2nd. And if that's scary to you, let me encourage you, it's fun. But you have to go and try it to see. Because you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday through Friday, and you come meet down here with all your best friends. Amen, your brothers and sisters. And you get to have fun together, and you get to entreat the Lord together, and you get to speak life into one another. It's very powerful. On Saturday at 9 a.m. in the mornings, we meet back here again for corporate prayer, and we do that again. And then, of course, on Sunday, we always do this. And for 21 days, we get focused on an objective. And there's some things that the Lord is asking all of us to trust Him with and push back on. Push back. And so you decide what He's telling you to push back on, whether it's food, media, some kind of addiction, whatever that may be, and trust Him from 21 days to help you push back on it so you can make more room for Him. And you will be totally surprised at what you get back in return. Nothing compared to what you gave up. And when you look at it from the right lens, you didn't give up anything to get Him. You got everything when you made Him your choice. So I encourage you, keep that on your schedule. Join with us at New Life Fellowship because we're here to serve our community. Love our community. Our community really needs us. Something else I want to bring to your attention before I get in this word that I want to deliver is our Growth Track sign-up sheet. Somehow, it developed some legs and walked off. It's amazing how things that are not supposed to walk off can get up and just walk out. And we have like four or five families that signed up for our growth track, and we want you to help us and be merciful and as we repent and re-sign up. Give us your information. We are so apologetic for not handling that information as though it was treasure and protecting it. Somebody got your information and we didn't give it to them. And we don't like that. Thank you again for joining with us. And it was just minimum information, by the way, for you that's afraid of the sign-up sheet. Amen. It's more of just helping us get in contact with you. We want to know who's going to join with us in our growth track because we're a church of vision. We're a body of believers that's after something God's after. And we want to talk to you about that. We want to share with you what the Lord's saying to us because what happens is you begin to realize He's saying it to you. And if we can get a common denominator in what God's doing and we agree that our Father is saying the same thing, it's a whole lot more fun when we know we're following the right source instead of man. Because you hear me say it often here, and I want to remind you today, you're going to get good stuff, but it's not because I revealed anything to you today. It's because He's revealing it to you. And I should be confirming what you are already hearing. Today's message should bring more joy to your spirit, more confirmation on what's going on from God's lens, amen, because I am here to confirm that you're that powerful, that God has given you identity, and the enemy is shaking in his pointy-toe boots right now, if he wears them, because he fears you might believe. Because if you can believe, anything's possible to them that believe. Amen. And some of you believe right now, and more of you are going to join in here before we get through today. Amen. So everybody needs access to unbreakable spiritual lifelines. And that's the title today, Unbreakable Spiritual Lifelines, in the series of God of Promise. Amen. And so we're seeing that in our present world. Our political climate is telling us we need some lifelines. And these lifelines are available to all that condition their spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I must spend just a moment here challenging you on this topic, because for you who are restless and frustrated with this present world condition, notice what the writer of Hebrews says. And he says it this way, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he writes, be careful, Hebrews 12:25, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one, capital O, the one who is speaking. Not Dwayne Lowe. The Lord is speaking to all that have an ear to hear. Be careful that you pay attention, not what he said yesterday only, but what he's speaking right now. Because he's talking to us. And he promised to give us that comfort by filling us with his Spirit and reminding us, his Spirit reminding us of everything he ever said. Wow, what a promise from God. Jesus advises us to allow his Spirit to take lead in our lives. Notice how John writes this in 1 John 2:27. But you have received the Holy Spirit. He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Well, that's a pretty strong statement in there. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. Wow, you know what some of you just found out? You don't need Dwayne Lowe to teach you anything. You have the Spirit of God. Now, some of you might need to get it on the inside so you can get on fire, but you don't need me to teach you anything. What you need from me to be your brother and serve you in a capacity to confirm, encourage you to agree with what he's already saying to you. Amen? So I'm not interested in talking to a crowd today that can't hear. I'm interested in people that are hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness. And his righteousness is not the fact that you're trying to do something to earn your way into heaven. His righteousness is your identity. He has freely given it to you. The enemy tells you that you're not sinless, and God says you are. The enemy says you're a failure, and God says you're a victor. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I was a part of some stuff that just recently happened, and man, I am messed up, and you got to pray for me. No, Jesus already prayed for you 2,000 years ago in John 17 and 20. He prayed for every one of us that would believe on him through their word, speaking the apostles, preaching the doctrine, the gospel. The good news is he's already paid your debt off. And the enemy keeps telling you, no, my debt's still real because I keep dropping the ball. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gives up. He shakes it. And what do we do when we're walking with Jesus? Anybody that's in front of us that might hurt our feelings, anybody been hurt by anybody before? We're given the power and dominion and authority to forgive them 490 times in one day. And if you have not yet reached the place where you can forgive someone that hurts your feelings 490 times in one day, the Lord's saying, trust me. You're going to find out some key lifelines today that will facilitate your true identity and God nature on the inside. In your own ability, the person you're looking at in the mirror can't do it, but with God, all things. With God, all things. With God, all. Come on, it's time to get with God. God is doing something right now. Let's get with him in what he's doing and follow his lead. Amen? And so, Many Christians are confused. Jesus says it this way in John 8:43. Why is my language not clear to you? And these are people that know the Bible. They could quote the Torah. He said, because you are unable to hear what I say. The reason there's confusion in our world, and maybe you might be confused right now, is because you're unable to hear. And I want to show you why, if you're not hearing, somebody says, man, Pastor, help me hear the voice of God. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. But how many really want to be focused so much in your fellowship with God that you just hear him talking all the time? And I know our world will tell you, you need to go to an insane asylum. You're hearing too many voices. But Jesus said, if you're going to be a believer, this is a qualification of a believer. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I empower them. I give them a special, intimate experience so that they can follow me. But my sheep hear my voice. So why oftentimes do we hear that people say, man, I don't know, I want to hear, I know I need to hear, but I can't hear. What's the problem here? And we find in 2 Timothy 4:23, Paul addresses a young son in the Lord here. He said, for the time is coming, he's telling Timothy, when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. And that is coming from where? The Holy Spirit's teaching them. Ah, he's transferring his word into them. He said, they will instead follow their own desires. When my flesh desires are at work in my life, it brings confusion. And when I'm confused, I will begin to look for teachers who will tell me whatever my itching ears are wanting to hear. Now, this is so important, so I can go ahead and give you the word here in the next few moments. If you find yourself trying to get more knowledge, I'm not voting against being knowledgeable. That's cool. But not apart from hearing what God's saying. And if you're reading a lot of books so that you can come more powerful from knowledge, you're going to get more confused. Because your interest in knowledge can be from your itching ears, which will block you from hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. As long as you'll put the Spirit at the top tier of your vertical alignment, you can read all the books you want to, because you can push back all the lies that the enemy's saying and you not be prey to him. But if he is not at the top tier of your vertical alignment in spirit, you can get a lot of knowledge, but what it's going to cause you to do is allow pride to get in. And when pride comes in, you're going to fall. And the only way God can build and finish what he started in you is on the platform of humility. I need Jesus. And the way I validate my need of Jesus is I know how to bend my knee. And I know how to open up my spirit and say, Lord, this is the day you've made. You are my source. You're my everything. I need you to come and take over in my life. So I can already tell I don't have enough time on the clock to finish what I'm saying right now. And I say that because you can't exhaust what God's doing. So I'm just going to give you what God's given me. Amen. The way God gave it to me. Amen. In the way he's stirring in my spirit. Every one of us need a lifeline. But amen, let's go ahead and qualify this. You know, I told you that in the very early beginnings of time, after our father Adam fell, trouble came. And God speaks to a young son of Adam named Cain, because Cain is now feeling dejected because the Lord didn't receive his offering. But Cain came to God and didn't give him the best. He didn't give him the right kind of offer. He gave him second best. And God throws a lifeline out to Cain and says, Cain, look, if you do what's right, you will be accepted. But if you don't do what's right, beware. Sin is crouched at the door and ready to leap on you. And you've been given the authority to dominate sin. that spirit. You've been given rule over that spirit because I chose you. I didn't choose that thing that's crouched at your door. And Cain didn't heed what God said. He didn't take the lifeline of what God said. God is speaking to Cain, and Cain's upset. Anybody been upset before? And you wanted to knock somebody out. That hurt your feelings. And God even comes while you ready to go knock them out, and he'll talk to you. Why is he speaking to us when we're so worked up? Because he loves us. And he's throwing us a lifeline. Hey, you need to hear what I'm saying. You need to catch what I'm saying. You need to grab a hold of what I'm saying. Because if you'll grab it, you can rule and dominate anything, amen, outside of my kingdom. You've been called to do that. But Cain killed his brother. And Cain, when God comes and says, what have you done, Cain? Cain says, well, am I my brother's keeper? Every one of us are called by heaven and given identity, and our role is to be our brother's keeper. You're more important than me, according to what Daddy's saying. Does Daddy value me? Yes. But my value is aligned with his mission, his purpose. And I found out that his mission and his purpose as it relates to me walking with him is you. Somebody, y'all got to catch this. If I make it about me, I'm going to have heartburn. If I make it about God petting me and giving me what I want, and I'm saying, Lord, I feel like I'm entitled to something, Lord. It's only fair that you treat me this way. If I go there, I'm going to have a hard day. I'm going to fall on my face, and there's going to be all kinds of scars that come with that. But if I join with him on his mission, everything about him and his kingdom is given to me. I get the fullness of peace that passeth understanding, joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I get to live happy, healed, delivered, set free in my true identity because I chose to agree with him. That emphatic amen, Lord. That they're more important than I am. Because his mission is them. That's why it's more important. He loves you. He's passionate about you so much so that he died for you. He shed his blood for you. He paid your debt off so that you would be filled with his spirit and empowered to come go with him on his mission. God loves you more, obviously, than he does himself. Because God is love. He gave everything so that you could live and have life more abundantly. Amen? And so the person you're sitting next to, if you pay attention to what God is saying, you'll hear him talking about them. Yeah, this is good today. You are your brother's keeper. Male or female, no matter. You are your brother's keeper. And if we're going to repeat what our dad is saying, it's always going to be to encourage someone else in front of us. And if I encourage you with what God's telling me about you, guess what I get back? Encouragement. If I invest in you joy and kindness and temperance and patience, I've invested, I get that all back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I need a hug from heaven. Guess what? I'm going to go run and hug you because God's going to hug me back. Amen? But I might have a problem with you. And the person that you have the problem with, that's the very one you need to go hug to get your eternal hug back. You leave your gift at the altar and you go and get it right. And then you come back to the altar and you offer up your gift. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm talking about storms. They're real, aren't they? We got some disciples that are in a storm. Amen. Matthew gives a rendition of it. And Mark gives a rendition of it. And the Lord says, look, let's cross the other side. And the boys pick the boat they're going to cross over on. They get in the boat. And remember this. When the Lord says and declares we're going to do something, that's what we're going to do. That's where he's going. Now, you can choose to hang out with him and get there, or you can leave him and not arrive. Right? But when he declares something, that's where he's going. And I would encourage everybody here to catch that. When the Lord declares something and you know God's speaking and somebody comes up to you and they confirm what God said to you, you want to be focused on staying on that path. Regardless of the resistance, regardless of the, stay on that path. But somehow the boys forgot it. And a storm comes up. And before the storm is through with, their emotions have gotten away from them. Physically, they're going through the wind, they're going through the thunder, they're going through the waves, and emotions begin to rile. And the next thing you know, they're fearful, they're fretting, they're almost crying, they're screaming. And then they start blaming Jesus. You don't care. And Jesus awakens and says to them, he don't speak to the storm first. They want him, when you talk to the storm, Lord. No, he talks to the disciples first. Where's your faith? Is this helping somebody? Is somebody looking for Jesus to speak to the pandemic right now? He speaks to me first before he speaks to my storm. Some of us need to get that today. And so you got three kinds of storms that we all have to deal with. And the first kind of storm is physical storm. Whether you know it or not, if you're in a storm in a boat, the wind is real. The waves beating against that boat's real. The thunder's real. Everything about that storm is real. Even the coronavirus is real. Social unrest right now in our nation is real. The physical aspect of what we're dealing with is in our face. And we're having to address some things that are very necessary for us to win some battles. And so when we can't hear what the Spirit is saying, a physical storm will turn into a tropical depression in a physical way, right? Anybody ever been depressed before? And it will not stop at a tropical, it'll turn into a hurricane if we don't tend to it correctly. And so I encourage you today, listen, because he's speaking. And I'm just telling you, had the guys remembered that he said, we're crossing to the other side, they wouldn't have responded the way they did. So the danger of a physical storm is that it can quickly turn into an emotional storm. That's the second kind of storm that we can face. During this pandemic, how many of y'all have went from the physical storm into the emotional storm? A physical storm has the ability to cause you to fear the impact, to begin to worry excessively, to begin to lose patience. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Next thing you know, amen, you're becoming kind of aggravated with God. Why is God letting this happen? Anybody ever said that before? Don't raise your hand. Jesus has already spoken to all of us. I challenge you before you leave today, double check, have you heard what he said? Open up your spirit before this message is through. And let the Lord confirm to you the direction that he wants you to continue to walk so this thing can quickly subside. Remember when he spoke to the wind and the rain? Immediately they were on the other side. Does anybody believe God wants to take you immediately to the other side? But the storm has a way of holding you in place and just kind of beating you up and body slamming you and flipping you over and feel like you've been in a UFC ring. You're just right there. But God can move you from what appears to be defeat to immediate victory. God wants to do that for you. Amen. The danger of a physical storm is that it moves to an emotional storm, which eventually will take us into a spiritual storm. And the disciples got to the place in their emotional breakdown that their spiritual problem showed up. Storms reveal something. Most of us want to believe, well, the storm's building me. Well, it can't. The storm can reveal something about you, but the only way it can utilize the opportunity to build you is when you come to humility. The fact that I've got this thing figured out and I know where we're going and this is what I'm going to do, bless God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My way or the highway. Attitude. He can't build on that. So he lets the storm keep working because he's not the one that brought the storm. I did. Self-inflicted storms are real, y'all. Amen. My attitude can put me into a vortex. My attitude can put me into a situation. Amen. And I'm hearing all these wind and this thunder and this screaming voices. It's telling me it's their fault. It's their fault. They're the reason I'm in trouble right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so it can't build you, but it can reveal something about you that you know not right. It's not right. And it will bring you to a level of humility where you can say, Lord, I need you to work on me right now. I need you to help me in my dilemma. I'm in a very bad spiritual condition. And they tell him, Lord, you don't care that we perish. I haven't said it out loud before, but I've heard that come to my mind before. And I had the question, I wonder if the Lord cares right now. Come to my mind before, more than once. But I was in the middle of something that I needed to be in so that it could reveal something that needed to be taken care of in my own life. It could do something in my spirit so I could stand up here and encourage someone else that's going through hell on earth as well. They're going through their storm. And I could empathize with you in a spiritual way and let you know there is hope. Amen. You're closer to your miracle than you realize. God is here now, and he's wanting to help everybody because he loves his kids. Amen. And so storms always reveal the depth or the shallowness of our relationship with Jesus. Now, what if the miracle wasn't that the storm Jesus calmed was on the outside, but rather that the miracle is he was calming a storm on the inside? What if that was the miracle? What if Jesus was establishing his boys with a fortitude that they would stand firm in the middle of challenges as they walked with him? And what if God's doing the same in your life? He's establishing a fortitude in you. So remember this, physical storms always facilitate opportunities for us to grow emotionally and spiritually. I need Jesus. Therefore, it's possible you need the storm in your life. Pastor, why'd you have to say it like that? I'm just going to tell you, he's worth every challenging moment. When you experience him, all of a sudden you'll look back and say, that was nothing compared to what I got. That was tough, but this is awesome. So it can't even be compared with the glory that God's revealing in your life and in his purpose in your life. Amen? And so lifelines are necessary for all of us. Hebrews chapter 6 says it this way. I need to read a few scriptures for you so you know it's in the Bible. Verse 18, Hebrews 6, we who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab. I'm going to go get in your mind a lifeline. We have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right into the very presence of God. Let me say it this way. When you hear that still small voice, when God speaks to your spirit, what comes with it is breath. You can't explain it, but you know it. God just spoke to me. This is God. I can't figure it out. But if you grab it, oh, it's so good. And you don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. You come together. You get connected. What you'll begin to find when you stay connected, the thing that you're holding on to that's grounded to something unmovable, all of a sudden you become unmovable. Because where you're connected, the relationships that you begin to nourish and begin to work on and cultivate begin to confirm everything God's speaking to you. Jack, I need you to tell me what he's saying to you, because what he's saying to me, if we get it together, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and then boy, if we start really catching on to this and we join with what God is speaking and we remind one another of his word that's come to us and the vision that God has given to all of us, and we encourage one another as the day of the Lord approaches, guess what happens? We get more stalwart. Any resistance, anything that has to do with evil and darkness, amen, is like water off a duck's back to us. We can fly. We can go where we need to go. We can pierce the darkness because we have authority and dominion to rule. Rule over what? Every lie contrary to what God is speaking to you. Let's make this simple, ladies and gentlemen. When he speaks to you, you've been given the right through his blood. The identity of Christ has been given to you. When he speaks to you, that word is yea and amen. You have the authority to hold on to that. It works. Anything that's contrary to what he's saying to you is a lie. And our world is full of that. The church world is full of that. Amen. So why do we need a lifeline? Because we're prone to wander, to lose focus, to become unaware of what's going on. And then the next moment, we're in very bad danger. If you're on a ship and you're going through some bad storms, you want to be aware of where the lifeline is. If you're in a little small boat and you're in a storm, you want to know that lifeline's wrapped around you and tied on, right? If you're an astronaut and you're in outer space, you don't want to be doing any work in outer space without being connected to something that's unmovable. Is anybody tracking with me? Look, if you're down in the water and you're doing some scuba diving and you're among a lot of great white sharks, you want to be holding on to something that's unmovable that can pull you up out of that danger, right? Let me just tell you something. The enemy's not playing patty cake. He's very serious about his objective, and he's after you, and he's a liar, and he's the father of all lies, and he's come to take away the truth that God has given you. He's here to steal one thing, and he wants your faith. And the only way you can have faith is to hear what the voice of God is saying. You can't have faith no other way. This Bible study, this word from heaven to you is to confirm what God's already established as faith in you. Ain't no Bible study going to give you faith. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Yeah. That's why Jesus would not shut up about it. He that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He always was looking for people that could hear. Why can't you hear what I'm saying? You see? That's why he asked that question. Lifeline. I was a young lad, 6 years old, 5, 6 years old. I was in Little River in South Mississippi. And I started drowning. I could dog paddle real good. But I hadn't learned how to swim real good yet. But the current and the little river was up, and the current was moving quicker, and it caught me. And I was in a little swirl, a little whirlpool. And I couldn't I couldn't get myself to the surface. It was pulling me. And nobody seemed to be aware. And I needed a lifeline. And I was already taking in water. And all of a sudden, there was this root from the bank just waving in the water. I couldn't see it, but I felt it. And I got a hold of that root, and that root, it pulled me to the surface. And I didn't know God was going to talk to me this past week and remind me of how that root was attached to something that was unmovable. It was planted. It was deep. And the thing that was unmovable saved my life. Y'all think that impacted a little six-year-old boy? You think my world was changed at that moment? Because it looked like it was over. I'm 12 years old, y'all. I'm standing on a pier at Clear Springs Lake, a nice retreat and camp area, and I see another boy my age, around 12, and he's drowning. And there was people that saw it and didn't know what to do, and there was others that was totally unaware. Kind of like, that's the way the world is right now. Just unaware, oblivious to there's danger and stuff is happening. People are dying, they're drowning. Some were aware, but because of something inside of me when I was six happened. That guy's only got moments. I'll go out after him. And I knew where I was. I already knew that I was fighting to live at 6 years old. And he's fighting to live at 12. And I'm wrestling, fighting with him and trying to get him to listen to, you know, relax, I'm going to help you. And he finally heard me. My voice got through to him, and he relaxed enough for me to help him and pull him out to the bank. Well, I didn't know God was going to talk to me about that, because today he wants to get a message through to all of us. There's three aspects of God's character, three key aspects of God and how he works in our life to give us lifelines. And every one of us need these lifelines. I'm closing with these three points that are very valid right now. And the first one is, the first key lifeline is God's presence. That's the first key. I'm not far from anyone that feel after me. The only way you can really know this is you have to practice it. God's presence. You have to engage in feeling after him. You have to take time and push away all the other things around you and say, Lord, right here around this, I'm drawing a circle around me. I know you love me. I don't understand it. I can't perceive how it is that you care for me like you do, but I sense you want my attention, and I am making a conscious effort right now to push back all religious influence, all religious ideas, and step into your presence. And I want you to meet me where you need me to be in you and help me develop and cultivate your presence in my life. You gotta engage to know how real that is. And it's my goal to encourage you, and I'm going to talk to the production team about putting some 21-day prayer music together so that you can take it off our website and start practicing the presence of God. It's a lifeline. There's something about the presence of God that brings peace with it. In the presence of God, all of a sudden, the waves and the thunder don't matter. In the presence of God, all of a sudden, the fear and the anxiety and the fact that, you know, the coronavirus is going on, it's water off a duck's back. It's not that it's not real. It's just that God's got plans for me in this storm. But it's time to practice. David found that in the secret place of the Most High, he was fulfilled. In his presence, David was able to hear the voice of God. And God spoke to David before grace came. God spoke. And it and what happened to David, it caused him to become a man after God's own heart. Does anybody want the heart of God? The more you practice his presence, the more you take out time, amen, to get over ritualism and step into the moment. Slow down enough. Come on, my religious influences keep me moving too quick. And I'm not preaching against anything. I'm just telling you that the enemy goes to church too. And he looks like he's right. And he'll get you all worked up going to church so that you're not able to be the church. But when you step into your identity as a son and daughter, and you become the bride of Christ together, I'm just telling you, there's intimacy there. He's in love with his bride, and there's intimacy. It gets thick. So, not only do we have the lifeline of God's presence that's with us right now, but we also have the lifeline of God's promise, all of his promises. I love this about God's plan in our life. And when we catch this, the promises, as we have been saying here for the last few moments, are yea and amen. And they work in our life in a special way. It says this way, Jesus said, he said, when you build your house on the rock, it stands. Why does it stand? Simply because we hear his voice and we do what he says. Every house that's built on the rock, the promise of God is that you will stand. Anybody feel like you're falling? Anybody feel like things are caving out underneath? Does it look like the economy is going to crash? Does it look like people are going to just die in the hundreds of thousands? Does anybody look at it from that lens? And so if we listen to what we're hearing, and I'm going to encourage you, balance what you hear the media say. Amen? Get knowledge, but be aware that you need to hear from God first before you hear from what the media is saying. Take some time out and get the download from heaven so that when you hear what the media says, it don't make you fall. When you hear the voices of our world, you're able to stand because you heard him first. And he settled it in your spirit because, man, I'm looking for one day to turn the radio on and by faith, God, can you do this miracle that the media said what you said? It'd be awesome to be able to turn the radio on and all of a sudden on WOAI, the voice of God is speaking. Potentially, that's probably not going to happen, but my confidence is not real high in that, so therefore, I'm going to go to God first, my daddy, and get a download so that if I turn on WOAI, I'm standing regardless on what the Lord said. This is good because when God speaks, it's a lifeline. You can tell me a lot of good stuff, and I'll have a conversation with you. I'll even talk to you about eschatology. But I don't know how he's going to do what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to end all this up. It's just a discussion. He ain't told me none of that. And if he wouldn't tell his own 12, who am I to think he's going to tell me? But we can have a discussion, and I'm going to stand on what he's saying to me first. I'm going to hold to his unchanging hand because his promises are a lifeline. Amen. Psalms 91, 1 through 4 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, amen, will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 119, 91 or 81 says, my soul fainted with longing for salvation, your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. And the third point, and I close with this, don't forget this now. Don't let your circumstances speak louder than the voice of God. Don't let the challenges in your lane looking at you nose to nose speak louder than the presence of God speaking to you right now. And I close with this. The third lifeline is when we engage in his process. Had the disciples known Jesus was going to use the storm to teach them something, they would have cooperated with him during the storm. The disciples, had they remembered when they started the journey that they were going to the other side, they would have reacted different. Anybody tracking with me? Some of us got into this pandemic and we didn't pay attention to the things. And now this pandemic is doing something in us that's important. It's teaching us something. I need to pay attention to what the Lord said. I need to be paying attention. God's working on me. God's going to finish what he started in me. Jesus never spoke to the storm first. He always speaks to his followers first. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking right now to everyone during our social unrest, all the painful, unkind, messed up things that are happening in our world, in our great nation. Jesus is not doing any of these things. But he's going to use that to make us realize we need him. We can pray for our government, and we need to do that. We need to pray for all the kings and authorities. Because when you do, peace comes to your house when you do. Did y'all know that? When you pray for rulers and kings and authorities, your magistrates, peace comes to your home. Anybody need some peace? I would challenge you right now, know this, be careful how derogatory you can be with politics. Be careful if you name any person's name and you're casting a negative reflection on them. Peace will leave your house. I'm not guessing about this, y'all. The Lord spoke to me about that. It's in the Bible too, but he spoke to me about it. Any comments you have to say should be comments that he's speaking through you. Well, I know the Lord agrees with me on this, bless God. That's wrong. The next thing you know, you have made yourself a judge and you miss the point. You're nothing more than a religious person now because you've made yourself, there's only one judge, there's only one judge. Are y'all getting this? And when I get to thinking I'm smart enough that I can have a conversation on what I believe right and wrong is, I'm feasting at what tree now? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. We better get over here to the tree of life. Get in the presence of God. Receive the promises of God. And then yield to the process of God. He has a process, ladies and gentlemen. He does not want us to get into debate and strife. That's not what he does. God is good. God is love. And he wants us to trust him with his process. It's time to pray for our leaders so that peace will come to our homes. It's time to pray for our nation so that we'll get in the Spirit and begin to pray in the Spirit, to the place that we begin to prophesy in the Spirit and make declarations that, oh man, somebody's catching this right now, and we become just like our daddy Jesus. We only say what we hear our Father say, and we only do what we see our Father do. Anybody ready to get filled with that kind of Spirit today? Trouble never builds character. It reveals it. It reveals it. Amen. And right now, there's some things being revealed in us for the purpose of humility to come and God do some more things in us that glorifies his name. Anybody agree with that? Now, I got a wonderful grill at my house. And my grill, I can get it hot. I'm just going to tell you, I can get hot. I got the kind of grades on it. They're thick. And when you lay that piece of steak on that, the sear, and I mean, it's going to be looking good real fast. But there has been times that when I brought that beautiful looking entree to the table and I took the knife and I cut into it, it revealed it needed some more fire. Now, I don't like well-done steaks, so don't get me wrong. I don't treat a steak wrong. But when it's still mooing, gotta have some mercy. You gotta make sure it stops breathing at some point. Come on, this is talking to somebody here right now. Isn't it interesting that the cutting that we don't really prefer reveals some things? And the Lord knows how to finish what He starts. And maybe you might need to be put back in the fire. Do we trust Him? That guy I look at in the mirror, I can't trust that cat. That guy in the mirror has done me more wrong than the devil. And the devil's pretty bad. Some of y'all saying, my God, how are you pastoring the church? Because y'all need us to be transparent here, don't you? I need Jesus every day. My wife needs a husband that hears the voice of God. And I need a wife that hears the voice of God. All of our relationships, we need each other. As Tony said it, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's just, yes, Lord. The greatest form of worship is trust. Because when you hear His voice and you agree with it, on the other end of it is something that's unmovable. But there's been times I wasn't going to pay attention because it was too much thunder, wind, rain, waves. And it got me emotionally messed up. But He was close by. He was in the stern of the boat. And He was trying to show me how to handle the storm, but I wasn't getting it. I got worked up. And I caused myself some heartburn. And He let me be out of order with Him because He loves me so much. Some of you, the enemies beat you up because you have maybe said some things to Jesus you shouldn't have said, thought some thoughts you shouldn't have thought, and He keep beating you up thinking, making you think, well, man, Jesus ain't gonna have nothing to do with me now because I done messed up big time, Jeff. I said what I shouldn't have said, and the only reason I'm convinced of it is because I'm still listening to that liar talk. Jesus is compassionate. He's merciful. He's full of grace. His empathy is totally healthy. He's got the greatest emotional intelligence of all beings. He's God. And He chose us. And He knew we was going to mess up before we messed up. Does anybody agree with that? So I'm saying to you right now, you may have messed up and you may have said what you shouldn't have said to the one that died for you. It didn't bother Him. He knew you was going to say it before you said it. He allowed you to be in that situation because He's got a plan for you. And it was going to bring a level of humility that He could build on. Why? Because this is where I close it. You are someone's lifeline. 12-year-old boy, God talks to me after I was a part of something that was saving a life. The Lord said, no, I set you up, son. You wouldn't have done that had not you went through a storm. It was the storm you went through when you were 6 years old that gave you the fortitude to go after someone because you understood their pain. The Lord's talking to some of us right now. And we've been fussing about the fire, but the cutting reveals something. And we need to go through the fire because God believes in you. You're someone's lifeline. Tony, you said it right. There's someone in your path today that's looking for a lifeline. And God is not going to do it without you. He trusts you with your storm, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, because he gives you all the tools, his presence, his promise, and he's given you every step of the process. You know, it's so easy. The process is just listen and follow. Listen and follow. Listen and follow. By the way, there's one little point in that that the church world have ever figured out. My sheep hear my voice is this part right here. I know them. They follow me. If you ever get that, you can't help but follow him. If you ever let him get intimate with you, nothing will ever match it. This world can't offer anything compares to it. I know that means I get intimate with him. And that was the promise he came to give 2,000 years ago. You hang out right here until you be endowed with, I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. You stay right here until you're endowed with it. And then now you can go be a witness to me. And when you're in my path, I'm looking at Jesus. When you're in my path, I see him. You become a witness to him, a lifeline of hope. Could we stand?